This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Happy Football Friday to you. We're standing by for word on when Stephen Jones can join us. C-Note's coming up at 3:20. We'll get you the Cowboys news of the evening. Right now, Wolchuk's NFL news of the day. Here's Zachary.
All righty. Well, it does appear that Stephon Gilmore, who's missed two games with a hammy injury, is off the injury report. He is set to make his return Sunday against Seattle. So just in time, because you got the Seahawks, DK Metcalf, and Jackson Smith and Jigba Rockwell zone, who is really, really settled in nicely with Geno Smith. He's been absolutely on a tear the last 6 weeks. So big to get Gilly back for that game. That's a must-win situation there if you are Seattle. But Minnesota, who's already clinched a spot, they're also trying to play for the one seed right now. So big ramification and implications in that game. You got CeeDee Lamb, who's been one of the few bright spots this year for the Cowboys. But he's got an opportunity to make some history when you look at receiving yards in a player's first five seasons. Right now, CeeDee has 6,234. He has the opportunity in these final 3 weeks to pass Jerry Rice, who had 6,364. So he could even do it this weekend against Tampa Bay. So that's something that we're going to be monitoring. Right now, the leader for most receiving yards in the first five seasons is Justin Jefferson, who's got 7,142. So you got Torrey Holt behind him, Randy Moss, so CeeDee's on the chase. But anytime you're about to pass Jerry Rice on an all-time receiving list, that's absolutely a tremendous milestone to reach. And we're hoping CeeDee can do it, and we can celebrate that in the postgame show. Maybe a win out against Tampa Bay. Maybe. You never know. We've seen crazier things in the NFL.
I mean, CeeDee has had kind of an up-and-down journey for the first couple of years. You know, people weren't even buying that he was going to be a number one receiver. He passed that. And then things got weird a couple of times, you know, on the sideline and in the game last year, in the playoff game, and then early on this year. Just didn't seem like his body language and composure was there. But one of the most successful receivers in his start of career that we've ever seen now in the NFL. I think it's certified. And you just brace for, you know, some volatility there. I think he's an emotional guy. And dang it,
yes,
when that emotion gets running hard, and I call him CeeDee Ram instead of CeeDee Lamb, he starts flying into guys. That's just a whole nother level, and you got to take the good with the bad.
He hates losing, and that's something that you want.
Facts of life right there, buddy.
Yep.
Damn right.
Yeah, we're all a work in progress.
Josh Allen also can pass Chargers coach Jim Harbaugh in the NFL record book. He already passed Hall of Fame running backs Lenny Moore, O.J. Simpson, and Terrell Davis in career touchdown runs. How crazy is that? We're talking Josh Allen, quarterback. He's passed those guys in career touchdown runs. He's currently tied with Hall of Fame running back Larry Zonka for the 49th most touchdown runs in league history, but he's set to pass another notable. He's got 191 passing yards, and then he will throw for more yards than what Jim Harbaugh did over the course of his 14-year NFL career.
I mean, I know they're not the same caliber of athlete, but this right here is why I would not have signed Dak Prescott if I had been in charge. Because of how much of an edge that is, especially in the red zone, you know, and running it in the red zone, especially if, you know, your passing game can stall out down there, has been huge for this team in 2014 and 2016. You know, that really, you know, drove them home and made potential field goals, touchdowns quite consistently. And right now they don't have that.
No, and I mean, think about how they won that 2018 game at home against Seattle in the wild card. It's a fourth down and they call number four, and Dak takes a quarterback draw up the middle, somersaults, almost scores. Yeah. He's down at the one. I mean, and in the postseason, Do the Chiefs have as many Super Bowls right now?
No.
If Pat Mahomes isn't using his legs to have some unbelievable big moment plays in those championship games.
Yeah, probably won them two games or so in this regular season as well that
it
they
is.
Wouldn't have otherwise.
I mean, it's very, very important at the quarterback position to be able to steal a first down, steal a touchdown in a game here or there. And right now, that is a tremendous question mark that we're going to have going into next year is how mobile will Dak be?
I asked Brian Schottenheimer in Oxnard, what do you do about these defenses with great, you know, run stopping and shutting down your big plays? And he said immediately that's where the quarterback has to run. You know, these defenses are have gotten so good and have now evolved to be able to handle the motion and, you know, the great athletes on the other side of the ball. And you need that trump card if you don't have, you know, a Hall of Fame talent in the pocket.
Last night, speaking of Harbaugh, it was the moment he's been waiting for. Cameron Dicker made the longest fair catch, free kick in NFL history at the end of the second quarter going into half, 57-yarder. And it's a play that, I mean, Gavin, you were talking about, like, I didn't even know this was, I don't think you're alone. I think there are a lot of people watching that were, I didn't know we could do this. Mm-hmm. Here was Harbaugh, and you brought this up, that he's tried to do this previously in San Francisco. He talks about, this is his favorite rule in the NFL.
It's my favorite rule in football. and just been trying to get one of those, like, every game.
You know. you've been trying to get one of those?
Yeah. It's the first one we've made. We tried one with the 49ers. I think it was like a 70-yarder.
Or 71.
71, thanks. Mr. Dawson, probably a little... I wanted it so bad that we, you know, tried a 71-yarder. But it is my favorite rule. And Cam Dicker stepped up and nailed it, and I thought that was a huge, good momentum. Got the momentum back, and going into halftime, and then coming out. And Derwin was great in the locker room at halftime.
All right, there is Jim Harbaugh.
And he did
after a fair catch, crazy free kick.
Yeah.
Man, that would come in mighty handy, you know. And it can only happen with 0 seconds, or can it happen at any time?
You could declare it any time.
Any time.
Yeah.
All right. As Stephen Jones joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're just talking about that fair catch, free kick that the Chargers pulled off last night. That's pretty neat. Have the Cowboys ever done one of those in your time?
Not that I can recall. I think it's the first one, and I think maybe before we had the team. I know we've never done one.
I mean, it might be cool to have it in your back pocket with Brandon Aubrey. I think, you know, he might be good from 75 or so if the other team can't block it.
It's always good to get tweaked on these things. I saw where officials and coaches, they were all huddling, trying to figure out exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you guys are huddling now. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sure we'll be huddling on the competition committee, make sure it's not that our guys, our staff hadn't done a great job, but it'll be, I'm sure we'll go over it one good time this off season.
Well, right on, man. And I'm sure you guys have gone over this Buccaneers team several times. I mean, they were on the rope 6 weeks ago. They lost four in a row. Now they've won four in a row. How good are they? Do you think they're better than their record says?
Yeah, first of all, nothing but respect for Coach Bowles. He was with us when Coach Parcells was here. He's obviously one of the good ones in the business, great ones in the business, and he'll have his team ready. They've won a lot of football games. We've had some good wars with them with Brady, but the other one that I've got a ton of respect for is obviously Baker Mayfield, the competitor he is, and you know, they just got a good football team, and you know, they're fighting to get in the playoffs, and you know, we've got a lot longer shot, but we're going to go out there and compete, and you know, I like our chances to go out there and play really good football and win a football game.
Steven, the injury report just dropped. Looks like Micah is questionable with an illness, and then Jalen Brooks has been ruled out with a knee. Anything new you can share with us about those two?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Micah doesn't come around. I mean, you never know on these flu bugs, but he should be fine. And, you know, Jalen, on the other hand, he hyperextended his knee on the last play of practice, unfortunately. And, you know, probably looking at something there where probably can't go this week, but should be good to go after that. But, you know, the great news is with, you know, us, you know, having a good number of guys at the receiver position, we should be fine.
Steven, I hope you give me a little latitude on my question here, but I've all of a sudden kind of got interested in numbers and how it pertains to caps and stuff like that. And I just was curious because you guys are getting tremendous value from players that don't cost a lot on your cap. And I give you credit in the staff for credit for finding these guys. Is this an avenue that might be a better way for you guys to handle free agency when, you know, you always talk about people say, well, they're never active. Is this a plan that you guys have that you're using that, hey, listen, we could sign these guys and we're getting more value out of these signings and then maybe guys that are high-priced free agents?
Well, when you have to, Brian, and it's a great question, and it's obviously one that we go over, and, you know, we're obviously being questioned in terms of our strategy, but no question, when you're looking down the barrel at signing Dak and CD and Micah, and, you know, you do have to draft and develop and really do your homework on players in terms of guys who might not be, you know, there at the top in terms of on the list to be paid. So, yes, I mean, that's certainly, our strategy when you want to keep Dak, Micah, and CD around. I mean, three of the top paid players in our league, you have to find not only the guys you draft, but you got to get you got to have some good luck in the college free, you know, our priority free agency, which we call college free agency, but it's a, you know, important. That's our second draft. And then, the other thing is finding, you know, a guy like Chuma, those guys are important. We found Hankins for a couple years. Those are important players that can step up. And then when you have, draft picks that really go out and play at a high level. And I know I'm talking about one that's on IR right now, but, you get a guy like an Overshown who's, was quickly becoming one of the top players in this league defensively. And then you see a Maris step up, who we drafted in the mid rounds there. And, that's what you got to have happen when you decide that you're going to spend the type of money that we do on the top end of your roster, which is your top three, four, a Diggs, guys like that. Now, we do have players like Zach Martin and, obviously Tyron Smith will be rolled off this year. Zach Martin will roll off next year. DeMarcus Lawrence, who's been a great player for us, some of his bigger money from his prime years are rolling off. You know, some of that cleans up. But you certainly have to have production from your drafted players and your priority free agents and your guys that you're looking for, vets that can step up and play well for you.
Yeah, and the reason I was bringing that up, Steve, because I look at the value of your players. Like Rico Dowdle's playing like a $12 million player. Carl Lawson playing like a $14 million player. Brock Hoffman playing like a $17 million player. These are all guys that you have that very, very manageable, and I just wondered if that was a strategy. And by the way, you're saying it, yeah, it's part of. It's not completely keeping you from going after big free agents. But is this something that, like I say, you just continue to lean on as you go forward with your cap?
Well, Jerry and I and Will were talking the other day, and, one of the things that, everybody was wanting to, give you a little pat on the back for is, the deals that we cut with Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks. I mean, they were getting, really high-end players for a low-end draft pick and, if you will, a bargain price for those type of players. Right. And we got them, for sub 10 when those guys might cost you, as you said, Brian, you were mentioning numbers, 15 to 20 in a normal market. So, you have to look for things like that to sprinkle your roster with when you're wanting to pay your elite players. And we're fortunate. Hell, we're fortunate enough to draft Dak Prescott, fortunate enough to draft C.D. Lamb, Micah Parsons, Diggs.
Osa Digizua.
I mean, he's obviously a guy who's coming up, and he's a guy we'd love to keep around. But you got to hit on those guys.
when you draft so well, one thing we've also talked about, and I wonder your experience with this, Steven, is all these contracts seem like they come up at the same time. And Mike, I know, was talking this week about maybe not being the highest paid defender, but he also doesn't want to hold out. He wants to try and get that deal done. Do you look at that maybe and would wait on a deal to try and stagger these out a little bit, or is it still just beneficial to get ahead of these things?
No, if you get ahead of them, you want to get ahead of them. And hats off to Micah. And I've seen, like you guys have, some of the comments that he's made. Yeah. He certainly, had conversations with Jerry and I, and that's what we want. We want guys who want to be here. And, you know, I think this year more than ever, having the injuries we have, you know, I think our top guys are feeling it that, you can't just have unlimited funds. Now, as you said, Brian, hats off to these guys, you know, who are stepping up.
Yes,
young
sir.
Drafted players, mm-hmm. the Hoffmans, the yeah. Lawsons, the guys like that step up and, play well. I mean, look at Schoonmaker. He's a guy who, mm-hmm. well, maybe last year you said maybe you didn't hit on him, and now, you know, he's playing well. I mean, Mozzie picked it up this year. I mean, you got these guys around who you know you think a lot of, and, you know, they step up. You sometimes it takes one year longer or 2 years longer, but ultimately you need them to step up.
Steven, what are we in for with this Netflix show? Are you guys excited about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a little bit in the weeds a little bit with you on that. I mean, what I'm the most fired up about is I think it's great that people are going to really – I think enjoy this. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a big focus on Jerry and what he's done, as a entrepreneur, as a, obviously a Hall of Fame owner and, you know, his journey. But what fires me up the most is we're going to have something here documented, not only on what our fans will see, but on the, hundreds of hours of taping, that our family will have, my kids will have, Charlotte's kids will have, Jerry's kids, their kids, will have documented about, Jerry and Senior's journey and what he's done, for business, what he's done for the NFL, what he's done for the game of football. I think people are going to really be intrigued by, and these guys are amazing at what they do. So, I'll be very surprised if this isn't something that people are really going to enjoy.
One thing that people are already intrigued by is, you know, from the promo that was released yesterday, the quote with Jerry saying it's more than just winning football games. What all do you think he meant by that?
I think it's at the end of the day, it's the full body of work. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, you winning the games is huge, but it is more than that. You've got to put the resources, you got to go out and generate business so that you can leave the franchise in a better place than when you left it. I mean, when we got the team, we were in Valley Ranch, which, by the way, in its time was one of the top practice facilities in the league, and we were playing at Texas Stadium. And now the franchise plays at AT&T, which is one of the top facilities, not only in the country, but in the world. And then obviously the star Jerry and our teams brought there in terms of a mixed use development, but also, you know, a way for our fans to be able to go enjoy something else about the Cowboys. So hopefully, not only do you want to win games, and certainly that's, utmost, but and we've obviously had some good runs at some Super Bowls, but our fire burns bright to get another one. But, at the same time, there's a whole lot more to these franchises, than just the Super Bowl part. Don't get me wrong, though. No one understands more how much urgency is on winning a championship and bringing another Super Bowl to our fans here in Dallas.
I love it. Best of luck to the Longhorns and your family this weekend, and go give them hell Sunday night. We'll be pulling for you.
Hey, go
Scots. Sounds great, guys. Always enjoy being on with you. And go Scots. I agree.
Salute. There he goes. Steven Jones with you here on 105.3 The Fan. Highland Park heading for a state championship game, too.
They are. They're heading that way.
Valley tomorrow.
Yep.
Man, that is cool. Okay, we'll continue with your NFL news of the day, give you some C-note as well, Cowboys news of the evening, and more coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The fan
left to right at the Dallas 4.
Excuse me, you certainly like the big body of Mike Evans, 14 touchdowns last year.
He split to the right, back to throw, looking middle, sacked again by Parsons again.
There it is, Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Pregame Sunday at 3 with Brian and Chief and several others. segments brought to you by Soda. That's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in a car, truck, wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. We'll take your feedback on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. What are you thinking about the Cowboys? What are you thinking about Longhorns, SMU? But we got the C-note right here, Cowboys news of the evening. And one of the stories is kind of based on what you broke for us a couple of days ago, Brian, that DeMarcus Lawrence not coming back this season. Yeah. Several blogs picking it up. I know, I think it was maybe Jerry or Steven or Mike said that's not official yet. But
yeah, it was Jerry earlier today.
What do you have any follow up on that?
No, that's all I know.
You got your report, sticking
that's,
to it.
Yeah, that's that was because I lost track of him. Remember, I was telling you about how I was walking to do my morning gig there, and I saw him working with Britt Brown, and I'm like, okay, things look pretty positive. And then all of a sudden, it's like he wasn't in the mix for that. What was the last game we had here, the Carolina game? And then I said, well, I need to ask and ask a couple of different people there. And they were like, listen, he's just not worth it right now. I mean, I don't mean it not worth it like they're not trying to win. It's just it's going to be hard for him to get back and play at the level that he once was at.
But Jerry didn't rule out his time as a Cowboy being over. So maybe they bring him back for next year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at this age for a pass rusher, that's when the salaries can really collapse, and that's how come you get Carl Lawson and Linville Joseph. And,
Carl Lawson, no doubt. Sure.
You know,
especially with guys, injuries.
Yeah, yeah, and you know Tank loves being a Cowboy, so I think that'd be massive if they can, you know, bring him back. But, man, just a number of big-time players. It feels like we've totally turned the page now.
You okay?
My goodness. I think so.
That's weed.
You got this, buddy.
Yeah, it was. I thought I was going to get a belch there for a second.
If you ain't choking, you ain't smoking. Yeah.
That's the truth.
Man, I need this vacation. Okay. I think I'm just talking way too much between yelling during coaching, the 5 hours, and the podcast.
Yeah. I don't
know. If it still bother me like this when I come back from vacation, I guess I'll go see a doctor. But
yeah. We'll get you checked out.
A lot of headlines about Micah Parsons saying bleep the Eagles. and his contract promise. Will Cowboys move to embarrassing record on Sunday Night Football? Talking about the lack of home success so far this year. Why do you think they've struggled so much at home this year, Brian?
Man, I'll tell you what, they've caught some teams that are just better than them.
That's true.
I think the schedule makers, the NFL, tried to give them some really, you know, usually you want to play your tough games at home. In this case, Dallas is, you know, Dallas has been much better, as we all know, on the road. But man, they have struggled. They have struggled so much, and I think a lot of it has to do, especially in the season, you just defensively you weren't ready to play, and offensively you just weren't good enough. And that's the biggest issue.
A loss would make them 1-7. Cowboys would match their worst home stretch in a season since 2015. So this has actually happened, you know.
And oh no, yeah, it is.
1 year they were 8-0 on the road. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe home field advantage is not quite what it once was here. In football, or maybe for the Cowboys, there's, you know, something unique about the challenges of playing at home, AT&T Stadium and all that. Here's Wolchuk with more NFL news today.
All righty. Did you guys see what Brock Purdy gave his offensive lineman, as we've just got quarterback gifting wars going on?
Snowmobiles.
He surprised 10 of the guys who protect him. You're kind of close.
Oh, was that? I just guessed.
Brand new automobiles.
Oh.
5 Toyota Sequoias, 5 Toyota Tundras that Purdy Claus came out with. Now, here's the catch. A basic Sequoia package is valued at approximately $62,000. A basic Tundra package is valued around $40,000. If you do the math, that comes out to, what, $710,000 in total?
Yeah.
Which doesn't include any upgrades. Brock Purdy's making $900,000. That's his salary.
He gets that bonus, right, where you get like $4 or $5 million bucks like
that. He's going to get that. That's what's not being accounted here. Like, Deron Bland's going to get that. Mm-hmm. And that's money that right now, if you look at over the cap, that hasn't been factored
sure,
in.
Sure,
like, I think Nick Eatman did a great job explaining that with the morning show the other day. So, like, all of the fans, like, you look at over the cap. Like, that's it's a great resource, but it's not necessarily perfect in terms of some other avenues that do need.
Oh, no. You're going to be short of what the contract actually says.
Yeah.
But it kind of gives you a little bit of a roadmap.
It does. And they're tremendous. It's definitely better than Spotrac, I think. But that is something where that's going to kick in for Brock Purdy. And he's expecting to just end up being a $50 million plus man here in, what, a year? Less?
I'm also saying that my man has probably got a deal lined up with a Toyota dealership.
I think you're probably right.
And he's probably, maybe they're talking about being an owner when he gets all this money. Maybe he's going to own a Toyota.
Ooh, go ahead and own yourself a Toyota. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
But do you think the dealership made him like a mean discount?
Absolutely.
Or is he working for 2 years for free basically now?
No, I don't think he's doing that. But I think maybe he's probably got a partnership with one of those Toyota dealerships out there in California. And maybe Brock's lending his name and his likeness and his... all this stuff to kind of help out, but they probably cut him a deal.
Well, then the 49ers media team made a whole video of it.
Yeah.
So it kind of works as like a commercial, you know, for Toyota.
Nice to get a Tundra.
I think the Niners base.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a nice truck.
Yeah. Great at the lake? Hell yeah. Give me a Tundra.
I think the Niners have based their entire evaluation off what it was when they were an incredibly physical and dominant offense. And they're like, wow, look at this guy. He makes great decisions and he's accurate. He's pretty mobile. And that was good enough then.
Okay.
Now you're in reality. You better have a Josh Allen to be the tiebreaker.
This is where I need to ask you the question then. Is this going to be the first team to say, well, I'm sure there's some teams. I shouldn't say the first.
I mean, they cut bait on Trey Lance.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Are they going to now do what? Are they going to be consistent to what they've been doing and that's not pay a quarterback.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's glorious. Maybe they'll try to do it in a way where they can get out of it in 2 years or something like that. But from my understanding, Mike Shanahan yes. is a highly influential figure. They even have cameras so Mike can watch everything at home.
Shadow GM.
And he loves them.
Yeah.
You know, he was the reason they traded Trey Lance.
Yes.
So if he's that influential and he really stood on a table for him, I don't imagine him pivoting.
I did want to slide this other audio clip of Cliff Kingsbury in here. Because, Ryan, I mean, you know all about the voodoo that goes down in NOLA. And we had the clock stopping towards the end of the game. That was
brilliant,
home
man.
Cooking there for that the Saints.
That is at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. You're going to get good things like that happening for you.
So Cliff, you know, was asked about that scenario and almost costing Washington a victory.
I was just watching. I'm like, it looked like he waved to stop it. I'm like, it shouldn't be stopped. And then I looked and it was stopped. And I lived down there for a year, so I know all the voodoo so I was just like, here we go again. So I was actually shocked we won that game. So I've lived this before. But yeah, I waved. I'm like, why would he stop it? And then it actually stopped. And so luckily we were able to get that win.
Came out with the W. But that voodoo bleep, man, you never know what's going to happen when you go there to New Orleans and play the Saints.
Your home clock operator needs to be part of the game that, you know, you got to, hey, save
at home cooking.
If you're driving the ball, saving a second here, saving a second there might be the victory way of kicking a 60-yard field goal or something like that, you know?
Remember when they had that voodoo thing, Indiana Jones, and they were stabbing it and it was hurting him?
Oh, yes.
Oh, what is that called?
That little doll?
Yeah, voodoo doll.
Just a voodoo doll.
Yeah.
What's a voodoo? What's that voodoo thing called? And you're stabbing it. Yeah.
I mean, you get up there and sometimes you imagine someone's got a voodoo doll of you somewhere out there. Well, got the back and the hip, the knee.
It's a little voodoo music right there.
Some voodoo music.
Casting a spell on you fools.
Oh, no. Okay, there's your C-note in NFL news today. Salute to Stephen Jones, joined us back there at the top of the hour. I thought we had some great questions for him, if you want to go back and listen to that.
I hope somebody takes my question and makes it better than what I asked. Because I think that might
you
be
asked a good question. That was a good question.
I just think that maybe that's a plan of theirs that, like, listen, we're very top heavy.
Yeah.
But is it a real plan of ours to hit on Brock Hoffman's and guys like that for $927,000.
No, I think that's a great point. And maybe what gives them confidence. If you're fishing in that pond, it's chock full of slightly older fish, but still plenty of meat on that bone.
Yeah.
And I love that. You know, if they could mix that in with a great draft, maybe they bounce back next year and, you know, could be back in position to win the division or something. Okay, Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every day at this time. Where are we going, Brian?
Yeah, on this Friday, I got some questions for my guys. We'll do that next.
Shoot, yeah. Welcome back, Nation. Okay, coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to chat with Nick Harris about Cowboys, probably college football and high school as well. Nick knows all things football. He joins us coming up in 15 minutes. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Gerald, and thank you to Reliant. I guarantee you Nick Harris will be calling us from the press box at AT&T Stadium.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
He was so excited we didn't have Cowboy break this morning. Because he's like,
yes,
man, I'll get to go to these games.
This is awesome.
Yeah, he's good. He loves that. Knows a lot about that too, man. They cover that stuff for 24/7, right? So we did was
yes,
he was
he covered doing for 24/7, and then he was actually a part of when Eric Heckma Harris and Kyle and I did Friday Night Stars for a few years from the Star in Frisco. We would have Nick on as a correspondent, so he's traveled the entire state. I mean, he's plugged in.
It helps us so much too when he does, because he was really big in recruiting.
Yes,
and so like when we're doing the draft shows, he like, oh, it was a 3-star recruit, and he just rattles
he
off
can go
like
back and give the history of the
it's
school,
like the history of the player and the school, and
like
all
a
that.
Random high school in Alaska.
Yeah,
you know, what are they known for? Pumping out linemen.
Yeah, there you go. All right, you know, I talked about questions and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm just going to nerd on you guys. I'm going to do some nerd stuff
Let's
today.
Nerd it.
But I'm not going to make you guys be part of the nerd stuff. I just went through some things. This the next gen stuff that the teams get from next gen. The teams get a different game plan, if you want to say, from like normal next gen stuff. If people subscribe to it, I guess. I don't know. Can you subscribe?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the teams get a different breakdown of some things. And so just going to read off a couple of things, if that's okay.
You got the team version?
I got the team version is what I got. And I'm just kind of curious. I mean, because, okay, they're talking about some matchups and things to watch, right? And they're talking about Micah Parsons look against Luke Gedecky, you know, and he's the tackle for the Bucks. And they say, you know, Parsons lines up on the left edge 60% of the snaps this season. That's only 25% on the right edge. This is the projected matchup that they have. Now, Parsons has generated 41 pressures and 21 quick pressures under 2.5 seconds since returning from injury in week 10.
Wow.
Both the most in the NFL. That Bucs tackle has allowed a pressure on just 7.6% of his pass blocks this season.
About to go up.
That's the 11th lowest among the 38 right tackles and the lowest in his career. How about this one? This is one you would like, Dawson, I think, a little bit. CeeDee Lamb, he has 249 scrimmage yards when sent in motion since week 6. That's the second most in the National Football League.
Man, motion works.
Yeah, and it especially works with those type of receivers. You get them on the move that are yak guys. Like, we've seen it with the Tyreek Hills, et cetera, like what Miami was able to do. Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, Kupp, Puka. I mean, it works for those receivers. Justin Jefferson, I think the entire time Kevin O'Connell's been there, has been the most used in motion as a receiver of anybody.
I mean, I coach soccer, but ultimately it's football, and the games have roots in the same place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the key principles is as defensively try to get to a spot or stay in a spot where you can see the ball in your player at all times, you know, and the motion makes you take your, they call it eye candy.
Eye
football.
Candy stuff, yeah.
It just, if that split second happens and you turn and now things have drastically shifted, it's a huge opportunity. And the fact that the Cowboys with so many different offensive coordinators haven't been able to take more advantage of it, I think is an indictment on the front office more than the coaching staff because they should be the ones to know it.
Need to move that guy around a lot more. You see that run after catch, things like that.
And running.
Running.
You know, just hand him the ball.
No, you're absolutely right.
Wide receivers running is one of the most efficient plays you can do. They're better at it than running backs.
You might see that with him and Turpin with the way that the Bucs have struggled a little bit on that edge. Okay, Baker Mayfield has thrown for 2,238 yards and 20 touchdowns on passes under 10 air yards this season. That's the most in the NFL and the most in the single season of his career. Mayfield's thrown a pass under 10 yards 70% of his attempts this year. That's the fifth highest in the league. Okay, here's the matchup for you. The Cowboys' defense has struggled against passes 10 yards under 10 air yards this season, allowing the most yards per attempt, 6.9. That's the sixth most yak per reception at 6.4 when defending such pass.
That hurts. That's reason ten.
Is this a oh damn stat? What kind? When you hear that, is this something that Dallas is in trouble on? Because Baker Mayfield has had success.
Yeah, to me initially I was like, that's an OS stat. Yeah, like oh crap, this could be bad.
I mean, you got to deal with Evans and Godwin. You got to deal with two running backs. Their rookie receiver is good and throwing it short because of, you know, your liabilities in the linebacking group and defensive backs when it comes to tackling. You can't even play that strategy. And teams have had to go to short passes more and more. I know teams complain about it, but they've been so good at clogging cover.
Yeah,
that you got to take what they're giving you.
Yes, and eventually, if you're patient, that will open up something deep.
Yeah, if you're good at it, like Tampa is.
If you're good at it. All right, here's something that maybe you guys think about this one. Jerome Cooper Rush. He's thrown for 506 yards. That's the most. And he's had 8 touchdowns, which is the third most against man coverage since week 11. My man's tearing up man coverage.
Well, that's also a good thing for your receivers. They're actually finding a way to get open.
Rush has averaged 9.9 yards per attempt against man coverage since week 11, compared to just 5.2 per attempt against zone.
All right.
Here's the matchup.
That's...
Get ready, boys.
That's what bowls.
The Buccaneers have played zone coverage 84% of the dropbacks this season. the second highest rate in the NFL. When using zone coverage, the Buccaneers have allowed just 6.9 yards per attempt. That's the seventh fewest in the league. We worried about this one. Cooper Rush has been tearing up man coverage, but all the Bucs do is play zone.
Absolutely. No question. And I've loved watching what Brock Hoffman and now you get BB back, and we'll see what that tandem can do. But it worries me with the quickness of a guy like Kalijah Kansi too. If Cooper Rush is going to hold that football pressure right up the middle, that can be a little nerve-wracking.
I think you got to go for it. I know these coaches have taught him to be more conservative with his decision making. But that's not going to get it done. That will be sacks. You know, that will be throwing the ball out of bounds late because he doesn't have the awareness to track a zone. You know, dude will freak out with nobody within 20 yards of him if he doesn't know what to do with the football. So I think you got to fill him with confidence based on last week's film and say, just go for it, man. You know, we need big plays.
Here's one that'll maybe make you feel a little bit better.
Good.
This is on the defensive side of the ball. The Cowboys have generated a 39% pressure rate since Micah returned the starting lineup in week 10. It's the fifth highest in the league. They've also generated a league high 24 sacks in that span compared to their 18 sacks in weeks 1-9, which tied for the eighth fewest in the league. So Micah being back, yeah. Give the guy, I guess, the $30 million.
That's your path to victory. Yeah. You know, he wrecks the game plan. Carl Lawson has another big game. Osa coming up the middle. You need a couple of strip fumbles, maybe on drives deep in your own end that were about to be points. You probably got to get a house call. You need a special teams play to mitigate everything you've taught us about this matchup.
No, and this will give you some feel good, too. Micah Parsons has generated pressures on 28% of his third down pass rushes this season, the highest rate in the NFL. Parsons has generated 22 pressures, 4 sacks on third down, with his average time to pressure decreasing from 2.87 seconds on early downs to 2.49 seconds on third down.
We need him to do his job at the same time. You know, I think last week he was hunting plays. He wants to make a run at, a 3-sack game or whatever his targets are, get his sack totals back up to double digits despite missing the 4 games. So hopefully he's still playing disciplined, but that is your best shot.
And my final one for you in this one. And this is talking about the Buccaneers defensive tackles. Because this is, I think that when we broke down the game, this is where I kind of worry. Buccaneers defensive tackle Logan Hall has generated a sack on over a third of his pressures this season. That's 35%. It's the highest sack conversion rate among defensive tackles with at least 150 pass rushes. Meanwhile, defensive tackle Kalijah Kansi has generated a sack 22%, as 22% sack conversion rate. That's the 13th. Among the same group of defensive tackles. So Logan Hall, keep an eye on that one. Him, Vita Vea, those are guys that are, it seemed like they're finding ways to get to the quarterback, and the Cowboys have got to figure out a way to slow those guys down.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon about 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. We're heading for the third hour of the show. You know, we go all the way until 7 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. And Nick Harris from the Star-Telegram joins us next in the Nation.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.